There's plenty of cake over here. We are out of forks. It's a forkless society. But enjoy the buttercream cake with cream cheese frosting. From Costco. They wouldn't write the word fuck on it for me. They didn't want... So I did... They gave me the stuff to do it myself, so... It said, holy fuck, stab is 50. Or holy fuck, you're 50, stab, or something. They wrote holy and then the blank. And then there's pictures of it online before you guys went through it and edited, so... All right. Here we go, everyone.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Here we are. We've made it to our 50th episode. 50 episodes of Stab on iTunes. Thank you guys for coming out. Are you ready to meet your contestants? Sitting in the first seat, we got Alfonso Portella. Seat number one. Sitting just to his right and my right, Jacqueline Wyan. Sitting to the right of her, Tyler Kinney. Tyler Kinney. And next to him, we've got Jesse Jones again. Welcome, everyone, to Stab 50. It's not that big of a deal. We've had bigger crowds. But thank you guys for the support. We do appreciate you accidentally showing up. Some of you not even knowing we were celebrating. You came not knowing you'd get the free cake, but you came anyway. And that's how the Lord works. I don't know what I'm saying right now. Alfonso Portella,
hey.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having
me. Is that
me.
On? Is this?
Yeah, there we go.
Works, yeah. It's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
You are much more handsome now.
Thank you.
That's... Just want to let you know that's why I invited you back.
Well, I was a monster, and I appreciate
you
it.
You were.
appreciate
glad
that.
You took care of the thing.
Sure did. Wart's gone.
Alfonso Portella. I don't know if you knew this. Alfonso Portella is the king of pain. I don't know if you knew that. He's the king of pain.
Yeah.
King of pain. Jacqueline Wyan.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Oh. I'm doing all right. If this crowd would be better, I'd be better. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You guys have been wonderful. Do you need help there?
I got you.
Okay, good. Yeah. Jacqueline. You don't need a man to take care of you.
Very
just want to let you know. Just want to let you know. Don't put your faith in men alone.
Have not.
Jacqueline, thank you for being on our show. You're the only lady ever on this show.
I like to think that way, too.
We don't have other ladies on this show. That's not true. But you made the cut. You made the lady cut. So thank you for being a lady.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. If you could talk into the microphone.
There
we go.
Pleasure.
There we go. Jacqueline Wyand. Don't know if you knew this about Jacqueline Wyand. She likes cantaloupe and is having a change of heart right now. Change of heart. She's having right now.
Love that cantaloupe.
Yep. Thank you for being here, Jacqueline.
You're welcome.
Tyler Kinney.
Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
That mic is in your face.
I'm fine with it.
You're good. You seem uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's weird though.
Tyler Kinney, you much like other people here, live down the street. So I thank you for bringing your lady out, having a good time, spicing up the relationship for once. She was talking to me about it earlier. It was a little stale, and I'm glad you guys were able to get out and, you know, get a couple beers in you.
Yeah. It's hurtful to say that
publicly,
but, you know.
I mean, she said it was okay.
No, it's fine.
All right. Well, Tyler Kinney, I don't know if you knew this. Tyler Kinney is the face of comfort. Tyler Kinney, face of comfort. That's what he is.
I'll take that.
Right next to Tyler Kinney is Jacqueline Wyan, but we already talked to her. Jesse Jones also right next to Tyler Kinney.
Just so happens.
Jesse Jones.
Hey.
Hey, how does this feel to do your 54th episode, even though we're on the 50?
Oh, no, I'll get you the actual number.
What was the actual number?
It's in my bit. How about you not ruin my bit?
Oh. As you could see, I don't read anything beforehand. No censorship here, as you can tell by the last show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse Jones, he's in Platt again. How about that? Again. I don't know if you knew this. Jesse Jones invented the word aforementioned. Afore Jesse, aforementioned.
Yeah, it was just before.
Was never mentioned. Yeah.
Boring.
Just before. Let's play Stab. All right. There we go. Yeah, clap. You got free cake. Fucking clap. This first segment is called This Was Today Once. Alfonso Portella, congratulations. Today is Apple Day in the UK. Also on this very date, 1966, the Aberfan disaster. A slag heap collapses on the village of Aberfan in Wales, killing 144 people, mostly school children. Here we go again. How did you recognize these events today combined?
Well, I read this crazy article that had this insane story that happened today with this weird coincidence with these two events. Said, residents of the small Welsh mining town of Aberfan are left in shock after Cincinnati Reds pitcher Aroldis Chapman walked into a preschool and began pelting small children with apples, leaving 114 children dead and dozens more children injured. In what many consider to be the coolest thing anyone has ever seen in Aberfan since the Aberfan disaster of 1966, in which 144 people were killed.
Mostly school children.
I just can't believe this happened. Nothing exciting ever happens here. And then Aroldis Chapman shows up out of the blue and really put on an amazing show, says Gwen Calder. Her son is in critical condition after Granny Smith totally rocked his world, hitting his head at 100 miles per hour. Oh, I'll never forget today. Aroldis Chapman signed my glove. That's Rhys Jones. His grandson was the first child to be creamed by a screaming Macintosh launched by the Cuban Missile. I woke up in a bad mood, but I knew it would turn around. Boy, that was rad. Seeing that was worth my grandson. Maybe two. I guess all I have left to do is just move on. He's gone. Aroldis Chapman left, and it'll be a long time before anything that cool ever happens here again. It's so sad. That's Kim Davies. Her son didn't stand a chance against the Cuban Missile and died of a heart attack during Chapman's windup. When asked for a statement, Chapman had this to say. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Unless, of course, that apple is thrown by the Cuban Missile at 106 miles per hour. And that's what I did today.
Very good. Thank you for being here. And bringing that to us. It's like a cider commercial. The apple cider commercial where people get hit in the head. All right. Jacqueline, is your microphone working?
Yes.
Okay, good. On this date, October 21st, 1973, John Paul Getty III's ear is cut off by his kidnappers and sent to a newspaper in Rome. It doesn't arrive to that newspaper until November 8th. Also on this very date, 1917, American trumpet player, composer, and band leader Dizzy Gillespie was blown out of his mother's human body. How did you do things in regards to celebration of the aforementioned?
Well, as everybody knows here, I've always had an ear for music, just one. And of course, I'm a huge Dizzy Gillespie fan. Dizzy Gillespie is my favorite music. So I listen to some of my favorite Dizzy Gillespie music songs, such as, it goes like, and my second favorite song, it goes like, happy birthday, Dizzy.
Very good, Jacqueline. Wyan. Okay, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a totally different guy. Okay, who am I thinking?
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
You're doing a Louis Armstrong impression.
I right totally just did a Louis Armstrong impression as Dizzy. It's it was really Dizzy Gillespie doing a Willie Mays impression. I don't know. Tyler Kinney, please stop me.
No.
On this date, 1921, President Warren G. Harding delivers the first speech. The first speech, not first peach. First speech by a sitting U.S. president against lynching in the Deep South. 1921, he gave that speech against lynching. Guess what else? Today is National Nurses Day in Thailand. How did you choose to commemorate the aforementioned happenings?
Well, I knew I couldn't not commemorate these two seemingly random events. So I started early last night. I got myself a bunch of Thai ladyboy, like, you know, prostitutes.
Right.
I took them out for a night of solemn reflection. And also Komodo dragon venom-induced solemn reflection. And I insisted that they dress as whatever passes for a nurse in Thailand. So I drove out to a pre-selected spot in the forest, and I flipped on my headlights, illuminating the contemptible scene of a dark body swaying from a tree branch, like some kind of racist piñata, because it actually was a racist piñata. It was a Dora the Explorer in blackface. Because that's all I could find on short notice. And as my ladyboy nurses solemnly lowered that piñata, they went into triage mode. And they surgically removed all the candy and the treats from inside of that effigy of the shameful past of America. As if they were drawing life lessons from the travesty. And as we ate the Laffy Taffies and the Smarties, and the Swedish Fish, and the Nerds and the Tootsie Rolls, and the Orange Tootsie Rolls, and the Skittles and the Necco Wafers, and the Milk Duds and the Candy Necklaces, we reflected on the progress we had made as a society, but also how far we still have to go. And then I made them all show me their buttholes, because I was paying them, and I'm not going to go home soft.
Tyler Kinney. Which you shouldn't, by the way.
Never, that's Jones. A rule. Yeah, it's a rule.
The first rule. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1931, English actress Vivian Pickles was born. Also on this very date, also on this very date, 1520, Joao Alvarez Fagundes, F-A-G-U-N-D-E-S, Fagundes, J-O-A with a thing over it, O, Alvarez with the, Joao Alvarez Fagundes, discovers the islands of Saint Pierre in Miquelon, bestowing them the original name, the Islands of 11,000 Virgins. João Álvarez Fagundes discovers an island, bestowing their original name, Islands of the 11,000 Virgins. Hmm. How about that, huh?
October 21st is a lie, John. All of it. This Vivian Pickles, supposed actress woman, her IMDb page doesn't even have a picture of her on it. And as far as my research has been able to turn up, she and her family has had little to no lasting impact on the brined cucumber establishment. While these islands of the 11,000 virgins you're so goddamn excited about were not named for a welcoming party of 550 score intact vaginal hymen. Greeting, Portuguese liar Fagundes. But were instead just named in honor of the legend of St. Ursula's 11,000 virgin handmaidens, a legend which coincidentally is also a lie! Are you trying to break me, John? This is our 50th podcast episode of Stab. But over the last 32 months, this is actually the 64th edition of Stab that I've been party to.
Mm.
And now I'm now absolutely convinced that you set out in your preparation for each and every show with the sole specific intent of destroying my brain with your nonsense.
Preparation.
Yes, I did give you too much credit there. You're right. Most everyone just sees you as a bumbling buffoon. Stumbling through life haphazardly. Unable to understand how you're capable of even feeding yourself, let alone stringing together a coherent thought. But I've seen through your pathetic ruse of patheticness to the madness that lay beneath. How much ridiculous mispronunciation and outrageous misspelling can one man possibly endure before it finally breaks him mentally, physically, and spiritually? I used to believe in a great many things before we started doing the soul-blackening show, John. Now I don't even believe that last statement that I just made. I'm pretty sure I didn't actually ever believe in anything, but as a defense mechanism, I have created a set of beliefs that I never actually believed solely to hold you responsible for destroying them. Just to shield my mind from the horrible realities of the life that I've wasted writing about cobblers and hot air balloons and spending 3 minutes on the defining of what exactly is something no one ever asked for and no one will ever need. Does that sound like the actions of a man with any kind of grasp on his faculties, John? So congratulations, John. You've finally done it. I spent today mourning the death of my once beautiful brain. And it's your fault. You fucked the pretty out of my mind.
Oh, that was only the first time I heard that sentence hurled at me. This next segment, this was today once, and this is still Stab. This next segment is called Top 5 Google Searches Of. Lady, gentlemen, please have composed the top 5 Google searches from the perspective of your favorite breakfast cereal mascot. If your favorite breakfast cereal mascot could search Google, what would they search? One at a time, starting with Alfonso Perdomo.
So my cereal mascot is Frankenberry.
Okay.
Franken titties.
Jacqueline Wyatt.
Mine was Count Chocula. Number one is BuzzFeed quiz. How goth are you?
Very good. Powderkenny.
Mine was Cornelius, the rooster from the cornflakes. That's his name.
I can see that.
And he Googled how to turn cornflakes into corn pops because they're better.
It's true. Jesse Jones.
I actually misread and thought it was cereal mascots. So I have one from five different mascots.
That's fine.
You should hopefully be able to pick up on which one, if I've done my job at all. First, is cuckoo an actual medical term? Or is my psychiatrist not taking my addiction seriously?
Very good. Alfonso Bertella, number two.
Oh, Franken's titties.
Jacqueline.
Okay. Why are all my cereal boxes blank? Because vampires can't be photographed.
Right. That's yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, these are all thinkers.
Cornelius.
Yep.
The rooster. I can't stop waking up screaming at dawn.
Just that statement. Not why. Am I just?
And there's a question mark at the end.
Google. I can't stop doing this. Jesse Jones.
Didn't mean to step on Alfonso's toes, but am I made of parts harvested from dead berries?
Alfonso, third of five.
Best hat for covering up a butt-shaped head.
Jack.
WebMD, seasonal affective disorder, January through September and November through December. Because they're only sold in October.
Is that true?
Or this season. Yeah, sure.
Tight, featherless cloacas.
I don't get it.
It's a like universal butthole thing.
Oh. Yeah.
It's the one opening they have.
I'll search that later. Google.
Bird facts.
Foul. Jesse, third. Yeah. Your third.
My third one. Realistically, how long should it take to be promoted to admiral?
Alfonso.
I'm just going to let it roll through the room.
Yeah.
Does bolt size matter?
Jacqueline.
I didn't know. Frankenberry leaked nudes. That's all.
Why would I even cross the road?
Synonyms for great.
All right, bring us home. This is the fifth.
Average male bolt size.
Jacqueline?
I'm not proud of this one, but I'm going to say it like I am. Twilight scat.
Why would Bone Thugs and Harmony crossroads?
Jesse.
Original four Crispies brothers. Snap, Crackle, Pop, and Mutilate?
That was the top five Google searches of. This next segment called Reorganization. It's a fan favorite. Just trust me. Take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym, H2SO4. H2SO4. You're all shaking your heads at me. If you can't do it, don't do the show. It's simple. If you can't. Okay. All right. Sorry, that was weird.
H2SO4. How to Shit Outside 4 is the fourth installment of the multiple award-winning How to Shit Outside survival series. Brett Becker teaches you the skills you'll need when you're stuck outside and you totally need to shit. You may think you were taught how to squat in How to Shit Outside volumes 1 through 3, but Brett's got some new tips for you. From finding the perfect alley. Okay, you see how you can hide between these two dumpsters? All right, you see that? That's the perfect shit spot right there. You just want to hide between those two dumpsters and own it. Own it. Own it. From how to use a raccoon to wipe your ass. Okay, you're going to want to go real slow. You don't want to wake them. Oh, shit! You don't even think about shitting outside unless you've let Brett Becker show you how to number two.
Very good. Very good, Alfonso. Jacqueline Wyand, H2SO4.
This is brief.
It's brief.
It's brief. Here to stay, olives, forever. Because they're not going anywhere, John. You can forget about it.
Oh. God damn. I like olives. It's fine. I'm good with it. Tyler Kenny, H2SO4.
Stands for happy to suck off 4. Which is one of the many things tweens are texting to each other so that their parents don't know what they're talking about. In this case, it means that they're excited about an upcoming facial gangbang.
It's full circle.
In usage. Yeah. Tween one. Hey, bro. You H2SO? Tween two. You know it. Tween one. How many? Tween two. I am H2SO4. Tween one. Whoa, you sure? You cried last time.
Oh, my God.
Tween two. I got this.
Very good. God, I have a 12-year-old at home. This is not good. Okay. We're 3 months from being a 12. Oh, God damn it. Jesse Jones, H2SO4. Fuck.
Funny you say that. H2SO4 is the abbreviation of the exchange most commonly overheard immediately after a couple has agreed to give butt sex a whirl for the first time. The H2 representing the recipient's anxiety over just wanting to get to it before they come to their senses and change their mind. The S attributed to the givee, or pitcher, as it is sometimes known, quietly gathering themselves for their initial thrust into the gateway drug of sexual deviances. While O4 represents the journey the catcher quickly travels as the onslaught of sensory information is received from their anus, traveling up the spinal column and decoded by the brain. So H2SO4 actually stands for hurry, hurry. Shh. Ow, ow. Oh. Oh.
Very good. H2SO4. I threw a curveball, and you guys all knocked it out of the park. Very good. This next segment called Department of Tourism, another fan favorite. We got a lot of mail in requesting this for the 50th show with all the promotion, heavy promotion we did. And Department of Tourism, you've all just been hired as your city's new tourism director. Congrats. Now make us want to come to your city. Alfonso Portela, make us want to come to Mamatopia. Mamatopia.
Moms? Oh, moms. You owe it to yourself to pay a visit to America's number one city for moms, Mamatopia. We've got everything a mom needs right here, from a diaper-changing station on every block to the baby-changing station, where you can exchange your crying, ugly baby for a better-looking, well-mannered baby. The sidewalks are extra wide to make room for strollers, kids, and all you fat moms out there. With our 24-hour wine delivery service, you can have the finest wines delivered right to your door so you can loosen up, live a little, and drink an entire carton of wine before hopping into your Toyota Sienna to pick up kids from soccer practice. Did somebody say Vicodin? We also have a very large... We have a large, sexy Latin pool boy population, and they really know how to clean a pool with their huge cocks. Not a mom, no worries. Mamatopia not only provides the best experiences for moms, but also is the only city in the nation with a rent-a-mom program. Check out a mom for a day and be loved the way you only wish your mom could, but would be totally inappropriate if it was your actual mom. Mamatopia, something for everyone, just across the tracks from Baby Mamaopolis.
Very good, Alfonso Portela. Jacqueline Wyan, the name of your city is Shut the Fuck Upolis. Shut the Fuck Upolis.
Think you have a high tolerance for loud, horrible sounds? Okay, but are you passionate about them? If so, have I got the vacation spot for you. At Shut the Fuckopolis, we got all the shrieking, screaming, caterwauling, and general hubbub your neighbors hate but your weird ass is all about for some reason. Baby screams? Sure. Pots and pans banging and clanging together indefinitely? You got it. Car alarms? Duh. Nails and chalkboards together in perfect harmony? Finally! Shrill nasal voices? Good news, bud. Every woman in town sounds exactly like me. Book your stay and get your annoying self in one of our two luxurious Best Westerns. We're going to make our neighboring town scream our name, bitch. Shut the fuck up, Alice.
Very good. Shut the fuck up, Alice. Tyler Kinney, make us want to come to the Isles of Soft Rock.
Ahoy. Do you long to feel the sea rushing through your manicured chest beard? Do you like quaaludes and wood paneling? Of course you do. So undo the second to last button on your paisley polyester half shirt and come feel the sunshine on your face and the cocaine on your gums in the Isle of Soft Rock. God. Come. Sample that for later, John.
I will. That's gonna.
You're gonna want that on repeat. Come. Admire the independent women that you long to bed but refuse to work alongside. And you'll be combing facial. Jesus Christ. I apologize. You'll be combing female ejaculate out of your mustache before you can say, I don't wear those. They dull the sensation. See the crumbling cliffs of the Isle of Soft Rock. The rocks are literally soft. It's mostly shale and sandstone. Snorkeling adventures are currently on hold because that guy from Sweden didn't know how to swim. Don't worry, he died doing what he loves, dragging a woman down until she feels like she can't breathe.
Oh, God.
Be the kind of man you've always dreamed of being. Hip, confident, unafraid of disease. Get away. Your kids are with your mom.
Let yourself go. Sure, she lets them smoke as long as they massage your feet. Damn it, now your erection is gone. The Isle of Soft Rock. Get your erection back. Actually, I think I see it just there. Just under the nylon jumper of that yellow-toothed divorcee. Go get her, you dog.
Tyler Kinney. The Isle of Soft Rock. Jesse Jones. Make us want to come to Splitsville. Splitsville. You're welcome. Splitsville.
Hey, you hip cat. You looking for a pile of rocks to stack your trunks? Need a hidey hole where you can get your melon screwed back on good and tight, away from the prying peepers of this one or that? Well, Jasper, Splitsville's a stone-cold scream. When you gotta shuffle socks from some joint that ain't nothing but right angles, Splitsville's the shim-sham that don't quiz your biz. Everything's cool as a cucumber fresh out of the icebox. Been catching heat from the fuzzies because you cleaned some Dottie's clock and split the dumb Dora's dome like a sack of groceries. Cool it down in Splitsville while them flat foots do the cobblestone click-clack on the wrong side of the map. Won't hide no hair be found in Splitsville that don't want to be Clyde. Got some snot-nosed, lolly-licking ankle weight, cramping your freewheeling gad about. Just give that damp diaper the old off-to-buy-a-box-of-smoke-sticks gag. No way Junior will sniff your tracks down this trail. Splitsville, for them bona fide breezers who want to stay solid gone. Ain't no responsibilities in Splitsville. Nobody saying Jake Bouts Quadu. Tanny skin, flip jinx. Be skipping on Jelly Street. What fits one shoe might trip a foxhound twice a month. But keep on jiving the moon. Beetle wings don't make a sound. Monkey piles it up high. So grease don't pond in the playground. You keep dipping toes, Danny gonna flip a pie. Deep, deep gravy. If you know what I'm saying. Splitsville, USA. Danny gonna flip a pie.
That was Department of Tourism. This next segment is the last segment of our 50th episode. Yeah. Oh, I didn't have to prompt it. Oh, that's good. And season two will begin. Season one is we're one segment away from our year and a half season. It's movie makeup, guys. Movie makeup, fan favorite. Here are the movie titles I made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. Alfonso Portella, the name of the movie title you've been given is Nat Fancy. Nat Fancy. G-N-A-T Fancy. F-A-N-C-Y.
Those sizes matter when it comes to love. Nat Fancy is the story of a blue whale who, when breaching the surface of the Pacific for a breath of air, notices a tiny gnat and falls in love, only to face the crushing realization that they may never be together. Alone in the dark, the whale ponders the depths of his loneliness, his mortal query, can he ever truly find love? He spends the rest of his days breaching the surface, hoping to find that gnat. So that he may experience true happiness once more before the end of his days. Starring Amy Schumer as the Blue Whale and filmed in a bathtub, critics are raving. The anguish in her face when she flops around in that dirty, empty bathtub. I've never seen loss expressed so artfully, says Rolling Stone. I haven't been this moved by a naked woman in a dingy, bloodstained bathtub since my wife's after water birth, says A.O. Scott, the New York Times. I was so excited about that joke, too. Let me try that again. I haven't been this moved by a naked woman in a dingy, bloodstained bathtub since my wife's water birth. There we go. Thank you. Nat Fancy also stars Terry Crews as the Nat in what the ghost of Roger Ebert calls Terry Crews' best performance yet. Truth arms way up. Then he jiggled his jaw flap. This winter, ask yourself, how big is your love? Nat Fancy, Christmas 2015.
Alfonso Portella.
Very good. Jacqueline Wyan, the title you've been given is Cherry Pie, P-I. Cherry P-I, Cherry Pie. Cherry Pie. All right.
Edward James Olmos is Mr. Mathman, a high school geometry teacher trying to get his life back together after his wife left him. After his along his journey, he meets Cherry, a prostitute with a heart of gold and a pussy made of actual pie. They team up to get revenge on his whore wife and teach at-risk youth how fun numbers and shapes can be. This semi-autobiographical tale was written by Edward James Olmos, who himself calls the film this generation's Pretty Woman, even though it was released 4 months after the Julia Roberts blockbuster. While critics panned the film, Roger Ebert once called the film borderline pornographic garbage and added, suggesting geometry is fun is nothing short of malicious. And Leonard Maltin complains, the scene where she shows her pie vagina was nauseating at best. And I thought this was Stand and Deliver. This isn't Stand and Deliver. I've never seen Stand and Deliver.
That's for good cherry pie. Tyler Kinney, the film the title you've been given is The Suspended Suspense of Spencer the Spinster. The Suspended Suspense of Spencer the Spinster.
So after a Craigslist casual encounter, the titular Spencer. His name is Spencer.
Spencer?
No, Spencer. He goes to the doctor to get an STD test. But unbeknownst to him, this is no normal doctor. The sad woman from Craigslist, the painful rash, the fake doctor, it's all part of a secret government experiment to see if freezing someone for 100 years will cure genital warts. Spoiler alert, it will not. Spencer is flash frozen by this evil doctor the moment before learning the results of his STD test. He spends 100 years in a state of suspended animation living with the suspense of what is causing this burning urethra. To the researcher's surprise, the genital warts were not cured. In fact, the sub-zero temperatures allowed the genital warts to be the only cells that could grow, and poor Spencer is completely overtaken by warts. He is slowly transformed into a horrid beast, and now with the experiment over, as Spencer is reanimated, 100 years in the future, he jumps from his slab and gasps, "Doctor, tell me it's not AIDS." Edit point. He jumps from the slab and gasps, "Doctor, tell me it's not AIDS." The future medical staff are horrified by the wart monster before them, and hijinks ensue. There's a slapstick battle between wart man and busty nurse. Yakety sax if we can get the rights. Spencer finally breaks out of the facility and goes to live in mountain caves. He becomes a beast of legend. Something people whisper about on cold nights. Don't go on Craigslist, they hiss. Spencer the genital wart man will get you.
For your Tyler Kinney. Yes. Great job, Tyler. J.
Jesse Jones, the title you've been given, and the very end of episode 50, season 1.
Oh, that's enough. That's
Someone
enough.
Just had a stroke. the name of your film is called Don't Die on Me! Don't Die on Me. There's an exclamation. Don't Die on Me!
There is.
There you go.
Marvin Ellison has stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
His favorite movie is Asian Squirters 7. Hungry again in an hour. Brandon Jeffries suffered his third stroke this fall and isn't expected to see spring. He loves barely legal casting couch hidden camera, volumes 1, 2, 3, and 6. Alice Copeland has a tumor the size of a lemon pressing against the inside of her skull. She's seen every video in the Jennifer Eats Out the World series. Don't Die on Me is a touching, feel-good documentary following a joint partnership with Vivid Entertainment and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Fulfilling the final requests of pornography fans to sleep with their favorite porn star before they succumb to their heart-wrenching ailments. Winner of both the Sundance Grand Jury Prize for Documentary and the Palme d'Or at Cannes. This triumph of the human spirit has reviewers raving, I never imagined I would cheer so loudly watching a woman in a chemo scarf being anally penetrated on camera. Oh, wow. But this movie is just that kind of magical.
Jesus.
And the USA Today says, when George Caro mustered up enough strength in his shaky, ALS-ridden frame to push that still semen-drenched girl out of the van, I laughed, I cried, and I leapt to my feet with applause. Then I sat down again quickly to conceal my throbbing erection. Experience for yourself what audiences can't stop raving around. Don't Die on Me. Coming to Cinemax this Christmas. And yes, we're going to end our anniversary episode with a bit about terminally ill people getting to make sweet, sweet love to porn stars with the help of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Stab.
Stab is over. The 50th episode is over. One more time. Alfonso Portella, Jacqueline Wyan, Tyler Kinney, and Jesse Jones. Let's hear from you guys. Thank you very much. Yeah, clap for yourselves. Take some cake on the way out.